having an awesome time down here, Crossy. I am with the Hunters Poschenbeck, Gabby and Edgar. Gabby, we'll start with you. How was it on arrival? The paparazzi were there to meet you.
Oh, I felt very famous. It was great. Loved it.
Edgar?
Yeah, I was getting a few snaps here and there and around, so I felt pretty popular.
Expect to see them on the front of Hunter Valley tomorrow, whatever that magazine is. Now, guys, we are now in here at the Yolumba Marquee. Explain through what it's like in here.
It's very posh and I love it. It's great. I could get used to this.
It's all about there. There's a few ways around, which is new to me. Very fancy food, which is quite delicious, actually. And the beers aren't too bad as well.
Yeah, we've got our champagne, Crossy. We've got our nibblies that we're eating. We've got some prawns, some beautiful beef balls. It is all happening. But I've got to say, the track is looking fabulous. Edgar, racing kicks off at 12:30. You've had a look. What are you thinking at the moment?
I've got a few in the bank here at the moment. I'm not going to give away too many secrets, but I think I'll give Nick's one.
I certainly need some help. We all know that. Crossy, that is what's happening down here at the Stone Cup. We'll keep you updated throughout the day. And, of course, if you get a happy snap with our posh and Beck, so you could be off to Port Stephens for a night.
98.1 Power FM, it is Brekkie with Nix. All right, Marcus and Reggie have stuck around because there is something that we need to discuss. Marcus, you have an issue with this, I have an issue with this, and Reggie, we need to get to the bottom of this. Please tell everybody what you attended work in today.
Winter clothes.
They are not winter clothes by any means.
If anyone thinks winter clothes is a bought fluoro sort of football jumper, board shorts, and who wears UGG boots out in public on a hot day?
Yeah, it is. You have like multiple tones going. So you have like lime green, yellow, and white on your shirt. You have blue, white, and grey on your shorts that are checked that don't work with your stripes on your shirt. And then you were wearing UGG boots.
Well, the last time I checked, people, we don't work in television. It's radio, and people
it's
can't
UGG
see
boots.
It.
Who wears UGG boots? It's
like
not a fashion statement.
You wear UGG boots at home at night, and that's when you wear them. You do not wear them in the middle of summer, down the street, in public. It's like, you go to the pub. If you look at someone walking the pub wearing their UGG boots, you just go,
how do you turn his mic off?
The only mic I'm going to be turning off is yours. You're the one with the bad fashion here.
And then you can smell those UGG boots from the main street.
Marcus,
it is disgusting.
You can smell them because they're sitting over to your left-hand side, nowhere near me.
Because you took them off because you felt so ashamed. And in fairness, it wasn't even just us. The ladies in reception even had a go at you as soon as you arrived. You went for backup and nobody backed you up.
Look, I'm
even the boss man put you out to dry.
I'm not going here for fashion points. It's radio. Well, it's not television. And I felt comfortable. And I think that's what it should be about.
We know we're struggling with a guy here that wears socks and thongs to work. And then he thought, I'll fix up my fashion statement. And then rocks up in a pair of old UGG boots with his boardies and his fluoro jersey bought at some auction. Like, what is happening, Reggie?
There is so much going on. I'm confused looking at you. I'm confused.
I'm comfortable. It's not a fashion statement.
What are you
saying? I'm not going on at home and away or something.
Someone else for dressing you. And obviously there's no one to blame.
No one.
I got up and I looked in the drawer and I saw that shirt and I saw them shorts. And then when I was leaving the house, I saw my UGG boots.
Imagine your wife when you walked out the door, she's been shaking her head just going, whoa. Yeah.
Where is that line where you start actually, you offend other people?
So you need to have a good look.
We are going to post a photo of his outfit on Facebook and we are going to get people's responses on you. Do you think it's okay?
I think that's
maybe
bullying
Marcus
too.
And I, maybe Marcus and I are extreme, but everyone in the office says, look, it's a little bit too far. We're not saying you can't wear it. We are just paying you out for it.
It's like people who think a fashion is to wear UGG boots out for going to the pub or going to with their jeans. That is a fashion killer.
That is a really good question. All right. Well, we are going to take your call. 654-11981. Is it acceptable to wear Uggies
and jeans
anywhere in public?
Anywhere outside your own house.
Yeah. Is it acceptable to wear Uggies outside your house? And definitely not with boardies.
Breakfast with Nix. The Harvey Norman Muswellbrook Fair. Number one for electrical and white goods.
Now, just before all your news, sport and weather there, we were talking to Reggie and Marcus. They were in here. They've left now. I think Reggie's gone off in a hump because we weren't really happy with his attire. He was wearing boardies and Uggies. I'm not okay with this. I'm taking your call, 654-11981, if you think you can get away with Uggies and boardies. Now, Jess, you've called through. What do you reckon? Jess, is this okay?
Not all right at all. What are you, hot or are you cold? What's going on there? That's weird.
I know. It's like a confused individual.
Yeah, nah, totally not down with that at all.
Can you actually go anywhere in public in your Uggies?
I'm back into the shops, but you've got to have, like, some bell bottoms on so they kind of cover it up.
Absolutely, Carly. Thank you so much. You have solved our problems. It's not all right. Boardies and Uggies, no go. 7:12 this morning on Brekkie with Nix, 98.1 Power FM, and we're powered by Harvey Norman in Muswellbrook Fair. Bit of Rita Ora there for you. I will never let you down. Now joining me, Greg Rust Rusty. He is the Channel 1 Motorsports commentator. He is a motorsports legend, and he's here to chat about everything we need to know about this weekend's Formula 1 race. Mate, Greg, thanks so much for joining us this morning. How are you?
Nicky, g'day, and it's one of the dual events on the calendar, but it's around this year that we have mixed emotions with. Back in 1959, it was at this very track that the late Sir Jack Brabham scored his first race win, and with the passing of one of the legends of the sport earlier this week, we're looking forward to Monaco as always, but at the same time, we're remembering the late great Sir Jack Brabham.
It is with a little bit of a heavier heart. Now, for those of us, our listeners who may not have known Jack Brabham's career as well as we do, just tell them a little bit about some of his key achievements over his great Formula One career.
Well, for me, I kind of, in some respects, wish I was a little bit older, because I only ever really got to see him do demonstration things and historic events in the latter part of his life. But when, you know, we came and spoke with him for documentaries or interviews, he was very giving with his time, an absolute gentleman, a hard but fair racer. He understood the mechanics and the engineering of cars very well, and that's what kind of set him apart for the rest. And he could drive just as skillfully, and to win three world championships as he did in the late 50s and then into the 60s was huge for Australians, and he was an inspiration for generations that followed.
He certainly was an inspiration, and as you said, we will think of him as we head forward to Monaco this weekend. Now, this is one of the big events of the year. I mean, I think everybody knows the iconic Monaco Grand Prix.
Yeah, I mean, it's a race that every driver wants to win, no matter what form of motor racing that you're from. Mark Webber worked very hard in his time. He may not have won the world championship, but two victories at Monaco were huge, huge highlights during his F1 career. Dan Ricciardo will be doing his absolute best this weekend. It's hard, though, against the might of the Mercedes cars of Nico Rosberg and Lewis Hamilton. Hamilton took the championship lead at the last round of the series, and he dearly loved to win it Monaco this weekend.
These Mercedes are just incredible. I mean, they are unstoppable so far this season.
Well, yeah, they, and to their credit, they've read the rules and the regulations very well. They have been very diligent in how much time and resources they put towards this project. They've been doing it for several years now, and the net result is what we're seeing on track now. They were very, very prepared for the new generation Formula One that we're seeing in 2014, and they're on the front foot. They're leading, and really the emphasis is on the chasing pack to try and beat them now.
Absolutely. If we look at Monaco, it is quite a tricky track. Talk us through some of those really tricky areas.
Well, if you ask my colleague Alan Jones, the 1980 world champion, he would tell you if it was anywhere else, they wouldn't stage a race like this, but it's Monaco.
Yeah.
It's steeped in history. It's less than 4Ks, the circuit itself. It's quite a tight, tricky circuit. There is absolutely no margin for error around the streets, but it looks spectacular. I mean, the harbour backdrop and the principality as it is there, I mean, it's just a wonderful place. And to win it would be, for any driver this weekend would be a huge thing in their in their career copybook.
It certainly is an amazing race to watch on TV. It's probably one of the most spectacular races, but it's also a very tricky track to overtake.
It can be. That's what makes qualifying such a, puts such an emphasis on qualifying. So, we've seen that over the years. It's very difficult in that sense.
Well, Russ,
you can get some variety happening in terms of pit stops and strategies and so on. So, but qualifying will be a massive part of the end result come Sunday, I would think.
Well, I'm certainly looking forward to it, Rusty. And you're going to take us through, as always, qualifying on Saturday night, 1HD 9:30, and then the race on Sunday 9:30.
98.1
Power FM is Brekkie with Nix. Now, it appears to be the wink that has stopped the nation. On Wednesday, Tony Abbott was in an interview on radio, and he was talking about the budget. And an adult lady who worked for an adult sex line had called in, and Tony Abbott was... The interview was being filmed, and Abbott was seen to be winking. Now, he was winking at the interviewer, not to directly say that he wasn't in relation to what the conversation was. But look, I'm not defending that this was necessarily the right thing to do or there was anything right about it, but my only argument is maybe it's been a little bit blown out of proportion. Now, Tony Abbott has come out saying it was a mistake.
Look, I was looking at John Fain. He was smiling at me and I winked back at him. I shouldn't have done it. I should have been more focused on the caller and less focused on the interviewer.
Now, that's true. Now, is he awkwardly winking at the interviewer? Is it all too awkward? Or is it just kind of one of those natural reactions? Now, firstly, I think it's all been blown out of proportion. Honestly, I think there's bigger things to worry about in life than whether Tony Abbott is winking or not winking. Not saying it's not inappropriate. He is a leader and he is constantly under scrutiny. However, sometimes we make these reactions. Like, I know that we have sat here in radio, in planning meetings or something, and somebody will say some kind of a bad joke and there's that awkward person who may just give the little wink in the corner, and it's not okay, but at the same time, it's not a big deal breaker. It's kind of just, that awkward thing. Look, I think that it's been blown out of proportion. I think that, the focus here should be on the budget and the impact of the budget and what's going on in the budget, not whether Tony Abbott is winking. I don't really think it should be a make or break thing on the future of his role as the Prime Minister of Australia. That is just me. Let me know what you think. 654-11981. I want to take your thoughts on this wink. Are we over it? Is it too far? Have we just blown it out of proportion? Or do you think the Prime Minister was way out of line? Do you think, hey, he's a representative of our country, and even on an interview, if he's looking at, somebody who's interviewing him, he just simply shouldn't behave like that? Let me know your thoughts, 654-11981. 8:16 on Brekkie with Nix, and a top of 24 degrees today. It's going to be a beautiful day, and we're chatting this morning about that wink. The wink from the Prime Minister. Look, I think it's probably been a little bit overinflated. Mel from Muswellbrook, you've called through 654-11981. Do you think that this has gone too far?
Yes, I think it's people are reading too much into it.
Oh, this is what I think. I think people are over-exaggerating. Do you think it's because people are cranky about the budget and they're just trying to find an excuse to have a go at him?
Oh, definitely. I think they need to settle down a bit. Not everyone's happy with the budget, but what can we do?
Alyssa, do you agree with me?
Personally, I think yes, we are. I think a wink is an Australian thing to do, and he's an Australian bloke.
That is such a good point. Now, head online to facebook.com/981PowerFM. You want to tell us what you think? I think it's over, it's done. I don't want to hear any more about winking. It's an awkward conversation anyway.